Well, it's an honor again to be able to address you, distinguished folks. Thanks for the opportunity, Bob and Ken and whoever else. I'm going to just tell the rest of you that haven't spoken. Oh, I don't know who's all spoken, but if you want to choose the songs that we sing, they let you do that if you speak. Cats out of the bag. But thank you, Sanford Bible, for your partnership. Appreciate it for many years. I learned my lesson last time I spoke. I learned a lesson. You don't want to tell stories about Steve Smith. Because the consequence is if you tell stories about Steve Smith, your PowerPoint doesn't work. I learned that. But he did want me to tell you that that spanking board was broken by him. Not on him by Ron Lotz. Okay. A societal check that I do regularly. It has to do with the reception of blessing. It's found in Zechariah 8, verses 14 through 17. And as I read this, I thought, if that challenge were given to America, or that possibility were given to America, where would we be? And it goes like this. For this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, I think that's the Lord of hosts, isn't it? In the King James. The Lord of hosts. For this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. I was determined to punish you. How many wealth and health preachers talk on that? But this is what he says. I was determined to punish you when your ancestors angered me. And I did not change my mind, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, Zechariah 8, 14 out of 15. But now I am determined to bless Jerusalem and the people of Judah. So don't be afraid. And always a but. Most buts we really like, don't we? But this is what you must do. Okay? To receive blessing, this is what you must do. Tell the truth to each other. Oh yeah, here in America, open up the doors for the blessings to just fall down. If it's tell the truth to each other. Yeah, really. Tell the truth to each other. Render verdicts in your courts that are just and that lead to peace. How are we doing as a country? Don't scheme against each other. Wow. Get in the thick of it, don't we, before a political election? Stop your love of telling lies that you swear are the truth. I hate all these things, says the Lord. So I know that this is to these other people, but were that to America, what would our chances be of receiving blessing? Wow. Okay. Ha ha, Steve, it's working. God's work. I want to look at that. And a lot of it, we'll look at creation and some other things. And I don't think I put on my PowerPoints which translation these come out of, but a lot, I use the New Living Translation, I use the NASB, I use the New King James Version, and probably, another one or two. Because you can always find one that you really like. If I don't like the way that says them, go look at another one. And it's so easy. You know, Bible Gateway, you just got all these translations, but it's pretty clever, pretty cool. Another thing I always, it's so nice to have that. And every time I get out these, you get all these, you send money to some, veterans organization or whatever, And somehow everybody else hears about it, don't they? And you get all these address labels. Like, where were these when we were on the field? We had to do this all by hand. Yeah, you're like 50 years late with all these things. But anyway, I don't know what that has to do with this, but it just came to my mind. Okay. God's work. Romans chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle, sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Oh, I thought the prophets were just bearers of bad news. Good news. Okay? This good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line. He was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, God gave us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them. Thank you, because we're on the receiving end several thousand years later, such Gentiles. So that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. And you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. I am writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. Wow, what a testimony. God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news about his son. One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. For I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit, just as I have seen among other Gentiles. For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and uneducated alike. So I am eager to come to you in Rome, too, to preach the good news. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. Isn't that a cool place to be? Amen. Right in the sight of God? Wow. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power. Actually, I shouldn't have clicked that. His eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Okay? Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Not a good place to be. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Sounds like they got all their bases covered, don't they? Wow. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools. And what I want to look at today is this verse 20. It says it this way in the, I do have it there, New King James. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The NLT says it this way. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. What are some of his invisible attributes? Go ahead. Answer.
Power.
Power. Okay. How do we see the power of God? All kinds of ways, aren't there? But if you say, draw me a picture of God's power, what would it look like? Invisible. What are some more of his invisible attributes? Orderly. He's an orderly God. Draw me a picture of orderliness. And where do our minds go? Creation. And we can go on down the list of the attributes of God, can't we? His all-powerfulness. Where do we go? We can't draw a picture of that in essence. It's invisible, isn't it? His invisible attributes. Draw me a picture of all-powerfulness. We go to creation. Come again, Tom?
Holiness.
Holiness. Draw me a picture of holy. Invisible. He is present everywhere. Draw me a picture of that. Your picture better cover everywhere. And so it's interesting, isn't it? These are invisible attributes. And yet they're clear to see. Okay? Somebody's confused here. Right. But it says his invisible attributes are clearly seen. How can something invisible be clearly seen? Through his, and this invisible does mean exactly that, unseen. And it's used several times in the Bible, here in Romans 1:20, again in Colossians 1:14-16, in whom, his dear son, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. What did Jesus say? If you've seen me, who have you seen? He's the image of that. For by him were all things created that are in heaven. How great thou art. All things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Anyways, invisible. 1 Timothy 1:17, starting with verse 15, it says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. Okay? Man, you want to be cheap, but that's pretty honest, isn't it? That kind of chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, get the T in there. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, again invisible. The only wise God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The King that Bob's going to be singing about and you'll be singing about forever and ever and ever. Eternal, immortal, invisible, wise, worthy of honor and glory. Okay? Another word, where another time where this word invisible is used is talking about Moses. In Hebrews chapter 11. When he's come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Don't you like being around people that make choices like that? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He should have known what that wrath is kind of like. I bet you saw it several times when he was growing up, this Moses guy. For he endured, he was strong, he was firm, what that word endure means, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, as seeing him who is invisible, faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Invisible. Also in that Romans 1:20, we see the word creation. We know what that is, a making or something that was made. And it says we understand God through his creation. So what does all we are surrounded by, the things made by God, teach us about God? We've mentioned a few of them, haven't we? You look at that, the globe. I don't think the people in Hebrews got the chance to look at something like that. Or the people in Rome got to see anything like that. But unbelievable. How in the world? Just hanging out there. This globe. The incredible power of God is just amazing. The desire for beauty. Unbelievable. And the other thing, the other side to this is he gave us the faculties to appreciate that, didn't he? We can see. Wow. So he gave us everything we need. We can see, we can hear, we can smell, we can taste. All these things that God created. He didn't need them. And yet he gave us the capacity to enjoy that. It's like you're just driving through Montana or wherever, somewhere out the west. You just wish you could stop and stay there and look and look and look and look. But you got a schedule to keep. The incredible creativity. Like, what would make you... How do you even think of making something like that? Sunset. Wow. And what are these telling us? They're letting us in. They're giving us a glimpse of the invisible qualities of God. But how many people miss that? His power. Like, how did he know to make all those colors? How's that all work? My goodness. You got all them pretty colors in there. Unbelievable. You got the moon. Man thinks he's pretty smart, doesn't he? He can get up there and shoot something up there and land somebody on the moon. Yeah, but if God slowed it down for just a little while, you miss it. You miss it, then you wouldn't think you're so big. But wow, incredible. Stars. You sit there and you look at them and it's like, I think Ken said it's everywhere. How do you get up there? How do you know how to make those things way up there? How many light years are those things away? Like, how did he know how to do this? But it's given us insight into the invisible qualities of God. Unbelievable. Wow, who would have thought of making that? Rose. The skill of God is amazing, isn't it? The skill of God is amazing. His imagination is just mind-boggling. And we don't know that. We don't even, we're just barely at the tip of the iceberg, aren't we? that, I mean, you just look at the world of flowers. It's incredible. Like, how do you make all these things? What even came to, how do you think this stuff up? Insight into the invisible qualities of God. Wow. Orchids. Like, you can't even paint something that pretty, can you? Not, I sure can't. I'm not very artistic. I have a hard time with stick figures. And that's not exaggerating. But unbelievable. Like, how that little purple, how those little purple dots get all over there. Like, why are they there? Like, why? I mean, it's just, how do you do that? His skill is unbelievable. Lilies. What did it say about King Solomon and lilies? He's not adorned as good as they are. God dressed them. He didn't dress Solomon. Solomon probably dressed himself. Unbelievable. Their eyes, like, how in the world? And then we have those flowers over our way. I don't even know what they're called. Every day they grow and fall off. Them white ones and purple ones. There's a bunch of them over there by our dumpster, them purple ones. Every day, grow and fall off. Grow and fall off. Like, what in the world? Who came up with that idea? Insight into the incredible qualities, characteristics of God. And then we have these things. Like to eat them if they're sweet. God gave us the ability to taste them. Insight into the incredible qualities of God. What about these guys? I believe that's a humpback. I did try to do my research. They migrate the longest distance of any marine mammal. 8,000 kilometers. They say the calves can whisper to their mothers. And you can learn that just by Googling, just like I did on the internet. And a bunch of other things you could learn. But incredible, like, what in the world? And they have lungs. And they live underwater. And they got to come up every so often to get, you know, get some more air. Unbelievable. And then the other kind, they have gills. And they're so little. Those things are really little. My dad used to make trips up to Amazon, taking supplies into the folks up with the Yanomamis and all these other places. And one of the things he liked when he came back is he usually had a bucket full of these things. These little neon things. They didn't last too long. We didn't know how to take care of them. But they're so, they're only about that long. And then you got this other thing like, just mammoth, the incredible variety of God. And then you have these, I mean, look at all them. My goodness. The variety of God is just incredible. How many of us, there's a few of us in here, we've all got some of the same characteristics, don't we? Two ears, two eyes. Mouth, nose. We don't look the same, do we? God is a God of variety. Look at all them different kinds of fish and everything else. What about these guys? Octopus. Who came up with the idea for three hearts? The octopus has three hearts. We have enough trouble keeping one going. Keeping one in good shape. Oh, my second heart had a heart attack. I can just tell Grandpa telling the other one, yeah, my third heart is not doing too good these days. But they've got three hearts. My goodness. Talk about an imagination. Then you got these guys for you cat lovers. The capacity to love animals. Cats. I prefer these guys. Man's best friends. And isn't that one of the things in this tragedy of withdrawing from Afghanistan? Among the other things they left behind was all the military dogs. Anyways. And we love these guys. They really taste good. I always thought they had four stomachs, but they don't. They got one stomach, but four compartments in that stomach. So how is it that a red cow eats green grass. It goes from one stomach, chews it again into the other stomach, and how that all works. Okay? They get white milk. Raylan drinks it and she has black hair. How does this all work? Amazing. Insight into the incredible qualities of our Creator. These little dinky guys, they're excellent tree climbers, excellent swimmers. If you want to keep them away, they say coffee grounds are pretty effective. At least that's what the internet says. I didn't fact check it. Incredible, isn't it? Just the difference in sizes and colors and the way that these God made animals. Unbelievable. These guys here, or this lady, man, she can take down a couple of them, can take down a big old whatever, water buffalo. There's enough of them to take down a giraffe. There's enough of them. They've got a pretty good bite. Yes, she can do that to her cubs. Carry them from one to the, you know, one spot to the other, hiding them so dad doesn't kill them. You know, these guys can't purr. These big cats can't purr, or at least this kind can't. But they said their roar can be heard 5 miles away. They're only successful on their hunting trips 30% of the time. Paul and I wish we could be that successful. Paul's probably a good hunter. Anyways, incredible. Then you got this kind, Onsa. Do you know how you tell the difference between a jaguar and a leopard? This is extra credit. I was like, why do you tell the difference between a jaguar and a leopard? The jaguar and its spots, it has these spots all over. There'll be dots in them. But the leopard's is, the coloring is solid. And that's the difference. How you can tell the difference between a jaguar and a leopard. Okay, that was such a blessing. Let's close in prayer. Okay? Their bite is 1,500 pounds per square inch. Quite a bit more than the other cats, the other type of cats. These cats love water. We always thought they kind of don't like water, but they're good swimmers. And that they've got a big head. In fact, in Paraguay, we had the pumas, the mountain lions, we call them the pumas, and the jaguars. And if the sun's on them and they're down the road, you can't tell what it is as far as the coloring because it's too far away to see that. But you can tell by the size of the head. The big-headed one is the jaguar. The little-headed one is the mountain lion. Okay? What about these things? Wow, talk about creativity. This is one of the few animals that can fight a jaguar off. See that claw underneath that? It would be his right front paw. That's about a 4 or 5 inch claw. And when a jaguar tries to get these guys, they always don't fight them off, but they can. I would as have seen them do it. And they'll stand up on those back feet. Or they'll squat on those back feet, back legs, I should say, and they'll fight off with that, you know, with that claw, with those claws. And the Ayurveda's always said, Rob, if you get attacked by one of these, don't let them get your guts. They'll kill you. And one of the guys that told me that at one time, he had found one of these out in the woods and he got a stick and he went to hit it in the head to kill it, but the stick broke and the thing came around and bear hugged him. And he did what he told me, don't let him get your guts. But one of those claws went through his hand, and the other claw went through his bicep, all the way through and just tearing that off. He said, that hurt so bad. But fortunately, his brother was right over there close, so he hollered for his brother. He came over with his .22 and killed the thing. But these anteaters are amazing. They say they're practically blind, but have an incredible sense of smell. And I didn't realize this, but they say that they lay an egg in a belly pouch. I was wondering how they reproduce, but they actually lay an egg in their belly pouch and then kind of like the kangaroo thing. But that's how the incredible imagination of God. Then we got these things. Tapirs. great swimmers, but fatty meat. What is that stuff in Brazil they made when they'd get the tapir meat and put it in a barrel and heat it up and just cut the meat up into small pieces and heat it up, and then the fat would just cover the meat? There's a name for it, but I can't think of what it was. And then they put your guess is, Jeffy, that's what it is, Meshita. And then they put salt in it, and then all through the year they take out a little hunk of meat, and it's already got enough salt in there. But this is real fatty meat. And actually, they say these animals are closer related to horses and rhinos. They kind of look like something else, don't they? But, man, talk about an imagination. Them are pretty funny-looking little things. And then we have these, the capivara. It's the largest rodent. Their webbed feet make them excellent swimmers. And these are related to the guinea pig. And they say that their teeth grow constantly. And we got this kind of a thing, a vulture of some kind. Like, what in the world? Who came up with that idea? The incredible imagination of God. We've got these things, storks. And I had to put this in there because I'm sure this is what some of you ladies, all you understand about storks is this. But anyways, God made even them. What about these little guys? Their wings, 80 times a second. I lost track of 75. But they said they go 80 times a second, their wings. Okay? Their heart beats at about 250 times a minute. But they say they can go as high as 1,260. A minute. And they only have one. That octopus has three. And they say they can go as low as 50. Amazing creatures. They're fun to watch, aren't they? Not a lot of them here in Florida, but there are a few around. Because you know what? No, that's not something else. What about these guys? You see them everywhere, don't we? What do we know about these guys? They're good dancers. Man, they jump up and down, flap their wings. They're good dancers. They must not be Baptists. Sorry. They do mate for life, but if their partner dies, they will find another mate or look for another mate. Their babies are called what? Colts. They're actually called colts, according to the information. And then a group of these things are called a sedge, like a wedge. It's spelled with an S, sedge. I don't know how Adam came up with all that when he named these guys, but but after creation was done, what did God say? You forgot the very. Very good. Yeah. And so we see all these incredible things, and we're just barely scratching the surface, aren't we? You get into honeybees and all these other things, incredible creatures. But anyways, but this is a very good representation, isn't it, of who God is. It's a very good testimony of who God is. A very good witness of who God is. Very good expression of who God is. His infinite power, His infinite knowledge, His infinite presence, His love, His orderliness, His holiness, His perfection, His imagination, His skill, His kindness, His goodness, His faithfulness, His dependability, and the list could go on and on and on. And so you look at creation, and this is what it tells us about God. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. The NASB says it this way: for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, that is, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made. And I kind of underlined, jiggity that thing though, that by what has been made, that comes from this word in Greek. I'm sure Bob can pronounce that a lot closer to correct than I can. But from that word, we get our words. Poem. Poetry. As you look at creation, what was made, How is God as a poet? What do you think of his poetry? Wow. About all I know is roses are red, violets are blue. Some poems rhyme, some don't. But God goes way beyond that, doesn't he? Way beyond, doesn't take much. Thanks for your encouragement. Okay, now we're going to go look at another place. Ephesians 2. Let's look at 8 and 9. And 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. God is the worker. Now, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Guess what? See the line under workmanship? That's where it comes from. The NIV translates this word workmanship as handiwork. The New English Translation translates it as this word workmanship as creative work. And when we look at each other, we say, yeah, God's quite creative. And then the New Living translates it as this masterpiece. Isn't that interesting? The things that were made. Poemia. Workmanship. We are his workmanship. The things that are made. That's the only two times that word is used. At least according to my Young's Concordance. And then we think of this, don't we? And this doesn't have anything to do with the Greek or whatever. But it's therefore, if any man is in Christ, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Aren't you glad for new creation? And you know what? As a creation, as us being creations, a new creation of God, isn't it interesting that so much variety, so much difference? So, I mean, it's just like the rest of the creation, you know? God has quite an imagination. And then I like this in Psalms 139:14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Marvelous are your works. And you know what? We are his. Dude, you're marvelous. We're on our way to being really marvelous. But we've got a good start. Marvelous are your works. That's what God thinks of you. That's what the psalmist thinks of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. We are God's handiwork. The firmament shows his handiwork. We are God's handiwork. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay? God predetermined that we should walk in good works. So, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not about how good our works are. We look around and we can probably find somebody that our works are a little bit better than theirs. But that's not what this is about. It's not about how bright your light is. Your light might shine way over there. But that's not the issue, is it? The issue is the glory of God. The issue is that people see the glory of God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and talk about what a good dude you are. Not glorify your Father in heaven. as it says in Psalms 115:1, now, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. There's got to be some significance in that statement, doesn't it? Where it says it twice. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. How often are his mercies new?
Every morning.
How often is he the truth? Always, man. Wow. That's why to his name goes the glory. David prays, I remember the days of old. At least he could still remember them. You're one up on some of us, Dave. David. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on, or I ponder, or I meditate on the work of your hands. And the Greek Septuagint translate that word there, word their work is also poemia in the Greek Septuagint. When's the last time you meditated on the truth that now in Christ you are the work of his hands? When's the last time you meditated on that? You thought about that. You mused on that. You pondered on that. That you are the work, the poemia, or however you say that, poema of his hands. It's good to meditate on what God has made, isn't it?
Amen.
On what God is making. And to rest in the confidence that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Because it says this, and I am certain that God who began the good work, God's work, within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Wow, doesn't that give us great confidence? That God's not going to give up on us. Great hope, man, that he's going to finish our work. It's God's work. He's going to finish it. And you know what? He's going to do a great job. He's going to do an awesome job. And so in conclusion, creation shows us so much about God, doesn't it? So much. In the same way, creation, all things that are made, show us so much about his invisible qualities. We are his workmanship. We are his thing being made. When people observe us, what are they going to say about God? Not to put us on a guilt trip. But when we look at creation, and we went down the list, didn't we, of all the things we can see about God, all the things that are made, we see that about God. We are his workmanship. We are the thing that is made. What do people see about God when they look at us? I like what was in here about this assassin bug. But Bob ended this with this paragraph. The reason that God's hand is so evident in creation is because he wants all people everywhere to know that he exists as a personal, intelligent being. Once that is established in people's minds, he seeks to draw them to a personal relationship with himself through his son, Jesus Christ. And so we see all these things about God and through creation. We see that he's a personal being. He's an intelligent being beyond our imagination. And yet, he wants to use these things to draw people to himself. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Yeah. How can they believe on somebody they haven't heard about? But remember, you are God's work of art. Doing a pretty good job, isn't he?
Some of them give a...
Some of us probably give God more of a challenge than others. But you know what? I think God's up to the challenge. I don't think he's going to struggle. I don't think he's going to worry. I don't think he's going to sit over there wringing his hands. What am I going to do with this Rob Ketchum? What can we be confident of? That he who began a good work is going to complete it. And we're all going to be really special someday up in heaven, aren't we? Okay, nobody else ever does this. I want you to know this. Hardly anybody that preaches here other than me finishes ahead of time. And you say, thank you. Let's play. Let's close in prayer. God, we thank you that you are a God that works. In the beginning, God created. You've worked from that point and you continue to work. You will always be working. And we thank you that you sent your Son who continued that work during his time here on earth. And after he left, you sent the Holy Spirit and he continues that work. And God, what an incredible privilege you give us of entering into that work. Thank you that you're working on us. You always will be. And you're going to complete it someday. Wow, that gives us hope for the future. So we thank you, God, for your incredible power, your incredible knowledge. You're just incredible in every way. And yet, you let people like us back into a right relationship with you. You're a God of such incredible love. We thank you for opening our blinded eyes to the glorious light of the gospel. We are so thankful. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.